Gracious, golly me. It's got to be my catchphrase or something. Happy Monday, everyone. It is Monday, November 30th, 2020. The year of our Lord and Savior. My God. You're listening to the Bodega Body Podcast, the fitness podcast for every body. My name, of course, is Rich Sabata, and today I'm talking to Doug Sands. Doug is a hypnotist, and he's the host of the Making Meaning podcast, but before I get into that conversation and that interview, first, a word from our sponsor, me, and BodegaBody.com. In case you have not heard, BodegaBody.com is the shopping destination for fitness, casual, and athleisure apparel with a cause and with a mission. 50% of all of our profits are donated to organizations whose mission it is to fight the issues that are barriers to physical and mental health, issues like climate change, issues like social justice, issues like mental health, and everything in between. And I put up new designs every single week, and the big t-shirt I'm pushing out right now is the fitness is my rebellion, wellness is my rebellion, and 50% of the profits for that tea are going to Colors of Change, so make sure to check that out at BodegaBody.com. You know, if you follow me on Instagram, you might have heard this week that this is actually going to be the last episode of the Bodega Body Podcast in 2020. Not the last podcast ever, but the last episode in 2020. We're going on a little hiatus for the holidays. Recharge the batteries. We've been doing this now 25 weeks in a row, and it's been awesome and it's been amazing. But when we come back in early 2021, which is really weird to say out loud, the show's actually going to be a little bit different, and it's going to be a little bit different for the best, and I'm not going to spoil it just yet into what's necessarily coming, but just know that Bodega Body, the Bodega Body podcast, is still going to be focused on helping people find the healthiest version of ourselves, but truly unlocking the knowledge into what really are the issues that are barriers to health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. And we're going to get to all that. And, you know, I am really excited for the concept that I'm working on. There's an announcement coming in the next couple of weeks regarding that. So make sure to follow me on Instagram at Rich Sabata. You can also follow me on Instagram at Bodega Body. Same goes for Twitter. And of course, you can always check out BodegaBody.com for more. So as I mentioned, this week I'm talking to Doug Sands about hypnotism and how you can use hypnosis to find the healthiest version of yourself. And when I first came up with this concept and I first heard about Doug, I was a bit thrown off and I was a bit skeptical. But what you'll know and what you'll notice from the conversation that I had with Doug is there's a lot more to hypnosis than what might meet the eye and what you might be thinking off the top of your head when you hear about hypnosis. So that's enough for me. Enough of me yapping. Thank you so much for supporting this show this year. Thank you so much for sharing the show this year. I am incredibly grateful for you and for everything that you've done for me. With that said, I will see you in 2021 if I don't hear from you on any of my social medias. This is my conversation with Doug Sands. I always find that this like health, fitness, mental health space is absolutely mind-boggling sometimes. And I think one of the things I've learned over the past couple of years, one just on my health journey, but even more so over the past number of months, me doing this podcast, that people really do find all of those different things in their own kind of capacity. And there's so many different layers and so many different things to kind of try to filter through and different methodologies for finding your best version of yourself and your healthiest version of yourself, both from a physical aspect and capacity, but also from a mental health aspect and capacity. So today we're going to get really into probably one of the most interesting topics that I've come across so far in this space. I want to welcome the hypnotist behind the Anywhere Hypnosis and the Making Meaning podcast. Please welcome Doug Sands. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm really excited to talk to you. When we had connected and I had saw hypnosis, I was like, all right, me being loudmouth, skeptical New Yorker, I was like, all right, I want to have this conversation and I want to dig into this. And so,
absolutely.
As I mentioned over email, I might dig a little bit today, respectfully, of course, but curious about you, your journey, everything that you got into. But number one thing I've been asking everyone is, in the context of everything that is 2020, how is Doug?
In 2020, this year for sure has been a wild ride. This year specifically, I started the year living at a ski lodge with my current girlfriend, who at the time was just my friend. And we lost our jobs and our homes within a week because COVID shut down the lodge and we were living there. So we had like 6 days essentially to get out of Dodge. Wow. And so we ended up moving into the back of my... I had built out this camper setup in the back of my pickup truck. And so we took this impromptu 2 week road trip.
Wow.
And since then we've been robbed, we've been scammed, and now I think things have kind of settled down for us. So, I mean, anything else that 2020 can throw at us, I think we can handle it.
Man, I feel like you've lived the American dream within the span of, you know, a couple of months that you like have truly experienced the whole gambit of what is America, but also what is 2020. I'm sorry to hear all of that. I mean, it's good to see that you've got a good, like, sort of sense of humor about it, you know, looking back on all these couple months.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you think your mindset around that comes from? And because I'll be honest, like I'd be pretty pissed and miserable at this point.
Oh gosh. Like while we were going through it, there were tough moments where I was very pissed. I was not handling it well.
Okay.
It really came down to realizing that I was going to be okay. Even when we lost the money from the scam, even when, someone broke into our house and stole our computers. We were still okay because we had our health. We were able to afford food, and it really just took me back to basics. I can be upset about it, or I can just be appreciative. As cliche as that sounds, I can just be appreciative of what I do have.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it is a cliche, but I also think that in the context of everything that's happening, both from all of us individually and the collective experience, that, you know, it is important to, and, you know, we're recording a week before Thanksgiving. This likely isn't coming out till after, but, you know, it's important to give thanks for what you have, right? And obviously this time of year is kind of, it lends itself to being reflective, you know? But it's good that you've had that. I want to take a step back for a second and talk about Doug, the person, and we'll get into the hypnosis stuff, but I heard the first episode of your podcast. I heard a couple more, and I'm curious about your story and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. When I look back at my story, kind of like this same year, it's been a thrilling ride, and it wasn't quite the ride that I expected to have. I grew up in Wisconsin, in a rural farm town, and my biggest experience, you know, the one that really opened my eyes at that time, was moving to college in Iowa, of all places. Okay. And so I guess that really shows just how kind of uncultured and backwoods kind of person I was. But I went to college, and I realized that I was not satisfied with what I was doing.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was paying thousands of dollars to be not satisfied. And so I really wanted to take some time and figure out what I wanted to do. And so I dropped out of college. I went out to Maine, and I worked at a summer camp near Augusta, near the capital of Maine.
Okay.
And then after that, I wasn't quite ready to go home. So I moved to New Hampshire for a seasonal job. And that was where the turning point happened.
Mm.
Like, I think it was 10 days before I left New Hampshire.
Yeah.
When the job ended, I went on this hike.
Okay.
And I was so set on going to this very beautiful hike up there in the White Mountains.
Yeah.
Your listeners might actually know it's pretty a famous one. It's called the Lafayette Ridge.
Okay.
But it's one I wanted to do because it's got such beautiful views, like, apparently for like a couple miles, but I didn't know that because when I went, it was blizzarding.
Oh.
And on the top of this mountain, I literally could not see it more than 25 feet in any direction.
A different kind of White Mountain.
Exactly. And I ended up taking a wrong turn. I had to bushwhack down this mountain in the snow and this blizzard. It was kind of like a near-death experience for me. Like, had I not had the will to get myself out of there, I probably would have frozen to death. And that experience shook me enough that I started questioning everything. Started questioning my faith, my ideas about what the mind is possible of doing. I ended up coming to meditation, and being raised in Wisconsin on like a 100% Christian family, hearing about Buddhism and about meditation was completely off in left field. And so I got really big into that, and it was like a lifeline for me.
How did you get exposed to Buddhism? Because you don't just go from Wisconsin Christian boy to Buddhist overnight.
Absolutely. In my travels, you know, I'd done those two seasonal jobs, and I met some pretty interesting people.
Yeah.
There was this guy from Nevada, I believe it was. He was just getting into Buddhism at that time, and every single night he would come down to the dining hall, and he'd like just chat about what he learned, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever, like, that's cool. And it wasn't until, like, you know, I kind of needed it that it kind of started to make sense.
Yeah. Okay. That makes the connection is there now.
Yeah. And so after learning about Buddhism and meditation, I was learning from all these podcasts, and I discovered this one talking about the connection between meditation and hypnosis. And what I've now learned is that hypnosis is, number one, it's not like mind control, like a lot of people believe.
Yeah.
It's really essentially a meditation with a very specific goal. And those two connected in my own mind, and those were the tools that I helped to really overcome this kind of mental health struggle that I'd been dealing with ever since I'd graduated from high school.
Interesting. You know, I think, like many of the people who are probably listening to the show, I'm sure a lot of the people that you encounter as well, you hear hypnosis, and I think you get the image of like the dude wearing like a funny outfit, like waving a watch in front of someone, or like staring at like a spiral thing on YouTube for like 6 hours, you know, seeing if your mind is going to get bent in some capacity. And I think what's important about what you're saying is that hypnosis is, from what you're explaining and I'm understanding, being guided to meditation, if you will. That if you were like, if you've ever done, and I was really big on this when I was kind of in like my big depressive state.
Yeah.
is like listening to like guided meditations on YouTube. Now I have like a Calm app on my phone. They don't pay me to say that, but you know. So is it similar to that sort of capacity? Am I understanding that correctly?
Oh my gosh, it is.
Okay.
Yes. What a lot of people don't realize is that so many guided meditations actually draw a lot from hypnosis. They draw a lot of their language patterns, and they draw a lot of the pacing and what we've learned from studying different hypnotists for over a century. And so if for someone who's done guided meditations, I would say that's pretty much what it feels like. Mm. Sometimes with hypnosis, you go a bit deeper, and sometimes a hypnotist will give you some sort of phenomena, like having you stick your feet to the floor or your hand to the chair or something to prove to you that you are in hypnosis. But one of the key things that I always remind people is that hypnosis is not something that I do to people. Hypnosis is me giving a person the right language patterns and the right pacing and everything to help them get to that point. It's all essentially, you know, just like meditation, it's all in their head. They're controlling it. And just like a guided meditation, I'm simply helping them get to that point.
Got it. Okay. And this is semantics, right? But like, I'm here thinking, okay, I do marketing full time and in my, you know, what pays the bills. Podcast ain't doing that yet. But I'm here thinking, okay, why don't you just call it guided meditation? Like, why is there some kind of attachment to the hypnosis phrasing language? Or, you know, is there, what's the big difference between the guided meditation versus the hypnosis?
You know, a lot of actual hypnotists do go by guided meditation teacher because it's easier. Because there's less of a stigma around it, and there's less of a, you know, there's less public fear, I guess, if you want to call it that. But if you're saying a guided meditation teacher, there's so much less that you imply that you can do. For those who do understand hypnosis, there's so many different tools you can use it for, like for doing motivation. Yeah. Or for overcoming limiting beliefs, for all these things. And if you label yourself as a guided meditation teacher, you can help with that, but it's like you're limiting yourself. I don't know, there's a give and a take. Like you lose the stigma, but you also lose some of the potency of what you're doing.
Got it. Okay. So, all right. So tell me how you go from, all right, I'm learning about hypnosis through podcasts. I'm learning about Buddhism through podcasts. So actually wanting to teach, practice, guide other people.
I had been, so at that time I was driving a propane truck, and that's where I was listening to podcasts. And I literally listened to this one podcast by a hypnotist out of Toronto named Mike Mandel. I listened to his podcast on repeat, back to back. And I listened to that for literally a month straight. And I just learned so much and absorbed it so quickly because I was so curious about it. And I got the opportunity to go to one of the largest hypnosis conferences, certainly the largest in the US. And of course, it's in Las Vegas. I mean, why not? I went to that in August of that year. And I showed up in Las Vegas. I was terrified that first night because I didn't know anyone, and the conference was going to begin the next day. I was sitting there in my bed thinking, what have I done? I've just wasted all this money flying across the country. I don't, like, this stuff is just fake. And I went to the conference, and within half an hour, I just knew in my gut that I had found some sort of connection, something that I was fascinated about, and something that was really backed up by the science. I really learned just how much hypnosis is backed by science, especially at that conference. I learned all the studies. I learned, you know, when it's been approved by the American Medical Association and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd like to dig into that a little bit, right? So, like, what exactly is the, I guess, what's happening physiologically or psychologically when someone is in a, I'll say, hypnosis state?
Yeah. So, what happens when you go into hypnosis? Your brainwave patterns, when you are in our everyday waking state, like you and I are right now, they call that frequency beta. Okay. And that is, I believe, 20 to 24 hertz. Anything above that is gamma. And that's actually what you go into when you go into solo meditation. A lot of people think solo meditation is like going deeper into trance, but you're actually at a heightened state of focus. But if you're going into hypnosis or guided meditation, you're actually dropping further down the scale. And so below beta is alpha waves, and that's your light trance, like daydreaming or, I don't know, getting lost in a good book or something. Theta below alpha, that is the state where hypnosis really happens. That's that state just above delta, where you're sleeping or dead, I guess. And in theta, that's where all the creativity happens. That's where we go when we are really producing our finest creative thoughts. That's where we dredge up memories of dreams and everything. That's also the point where we are most suggestible. And when I say suggestible, I say that before any session, I work with the person to suss out exactly what they want to work on in their own language. Yeah. Because it's very, it's important to give them the suggestions they want, because if I give them suggestions that don't agree with them, their mind is not going to accept it. It's just going to reject it outright. It might even bring them out of trance completely.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that what you just said is so pivotal, right? Because I think that when we're talking about being guided to such a deep thought state, right, that there is a certain level of, say, vulnerability, yes, right? And, for lack of a better word, susceptibility, that, like, I think as me, the skeptic / curious person, I'm like, all right, is this something that the wrong person could take advantage of?
It is and it isn't.
Okay.
I will say it because before you have anything else in hypnosis, you have to have rapport.
Okay.
And rapport is that idea of connection with another person.
Yeah, yeah.
That idea of trusting them. So if a person, if you already have the person's trust, then hypnosis can work. And then, of course, you can use it for, negative things. I mean, let's say a hammer. You can use that to build a house, but you can also use it to hurt someone. I mean,
it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. But really, that first step, it's not like I can walk on the street and instantly hypnotize someone. Sure. When you see stuff like that on street stuff, there's so much preamble and so much trust building before that even happens.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you can just use against people.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's good to know. It's good to know that, someone isn't going to walk up to me on the subway and be like, give me your money. But that's fair. I'm here thinking about what this feels like, right? Mm-hmm. So describe to me, physically, what are some of the things what are some of the sensations that people experience in the deep state?
Yeah. Usually they're sitting down, because I tell people to sit down, because if they lie down, then they're probably going to fall asleep. Fair. But they get very relaxed, so relaxed that their face kind of slackens and their jaw kind of unhinges. It's a very kind of transcendent kind of feeling. A lot of people report different things. For me, it personally feels like I'm kind of sinking into the chair beneath me and kind of just floating in it. Some people report it feels like doing a backflip underwater, or some people feels like there's a tingling in my head and I'm not really sure how I feel about it. Other people report like I'm just kind of sleepy and relaxed.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever done drugs before, but is it like being high? To me, that sounds like I'm trying to think of the feeling how I feel when I'm about to fall asleep. And I'm in kind of this deep thought state, sometimes just trying to relax, sometimes just trying to kind of take it easy.
Yeah.
Usually it's so funny, because right when I'm about to fall asleep is typically when I have some of my best ideas. And it sucks, because I have to go onto my phone and write it down and then try to fall back asleep. So to me, it sounds kind of like that. I'm also trying to equate it to kind of the sensation I feel, and I know this isn't the case for everyone, but when I physically exercise, oftentimes when I'm like lifting weights and stuff, I almost feel like that is when I'm my most focused. That is when I'm my most close to meditative state. Yeah. And I actually feel like I can focus more on clearing my head in a weightlifting scenario than kind of just like, you know, what the person thinks of the sort of folded leg position when you're trying to meditate.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head with that. I mean, to get to sleep, we have to go through theta, and that's, you know, that zone where we are in that hypnosis.
Yeah.
I mean, we're up for it, I guess. And, if anyone has been that, you know, if you felt that, that kind of like, I don't know, floating sensation or just really relaxed sensation, that's exactly what hypnosis feels like. And you're, what you mentioned about lifting weights and everything, that also brings up a really great point, because hypnosis is simply about focusing your attention on something to the exclusion of all else. Yeah. When someone is being hypnotized, they focus on the person's voice and those language patterns, and they exclude all else. I mean, it's the same thing that happens when we're driving a car and we exclude what's on our periphery.
Yeah.
If it's just flashing past, or if we get caught up in a good movie, or for you, for lifting weights, that's, I mean, I would say that's a light trance unless you're going really, really heavy into lifting weights, but yeah, it's the same idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's so funny because the way I always describe my weight loss journey is I got to it from being super depressed and me trying to find an outlet. And I did do like guided meditation stuff, just like listening to things, trying to just relax and like get my mind off of stuff. But I think the thing that helped me the most was always like the gym sessions, because I realized that the only thing I would focus on were typically like rap lyrics, and truly just like getting stuff done and clearing my head. And I think that focusing my energy in that capacity is truly what let me exude frustration. It let me exude a lot of other things. And so from what I'm gathering about what you're saying is hypnosis, obviously through being guided, you get to a point of focus where you can find mental clarity. You can work potentially through different things. You can discover new ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all certainly... Yeah, certainly big parts of it.
Yeah. How would you say, other than the kind of like the obvious, like how do you think that this differs from traditional therapeutic sort of methods?
Yeah. I would say traditional therapeutic methods like talk therapy.
Yeah.
They are all very effective, first off. Yeah. I support talk therapy. I mean, it saved my life at one point. And they approach the problem very differently because hypnosis says you, part of you, or you consciously, either unconsciously, know what the problem is. And you either have the solution to it or you can find the steps to get the solution to it. Whereas therapy is saying, we're going to look through your past experiences and kind of relive them and unhash them, unpack them. That's really the big difference. Hypnosis is not really interested in unpacking them. It's like, if we're talking emotional baggage, it's not going to unpack the suitcase. It's going to help you get rid of the suitcase.
Huh. That's really interesting. What do you think, are there any like common themes in the kind of people that are coming to a hypnotist, right? Like, is it a person who has dealt through traumatic experiences? Is it a person who is just kind of stressed out at work?
I see a lot of people who are coming to me as a last stop, I guess is the best way to say it, because I work a lot with anxiety. And so people come to me after they've tried therapy and meds and yoga and meditation, and they basically run down the list and they're like, well, I guess, I don't know, hypnosis is next. And they come to me, and I, you know, people from all walks of life, whether that's a high paying executive or a bus driver or a baker or something, it runs the whole gamut. I mean, I know a lot of people who work specifically like in a niche, I should say hypnotists, who work specifically in a niche. And so they see only athletes or only golfers, or they really focus on public speaking. Mm. And so it really runs the whole gamut.
Hmm. Yeah, that's particularly interesting that you say that, because like I think to myself, I don't know if I'd run to a hypnotist first. It's not that I'm opposed to it, because yeah, it sounds kind of cool, but I don't know if that's like the thing that I'd go to first. Yeah. I have to ask you, like, is how do you feel pressure wise and like how does Doug feel about kind of being this like last resort type of person more often than not?
The first couple times when I was doing hypnosis, it terrified me, because I was like, what if I mess this up, and what if it goes wrong? And but I really realized that the opposite is true. That's actually, it works in my advantage.
Yeah.
Because change only happens when you can say three things congruently.
Yeah.
Something needs to change. It needs to be me that changes. And the change has to happen right now. Hmm. And until then, nothing really happens. You know, you try things and then kind of fail and you just keep going on. It's the same reason why someone who discovers they are pregnant can immediately stop drinking or stop smoking, like just a flip of the switch.
Yeah.
And so that works in my favor, because they are already ready to change at that point, because they're like, if I don't change now, then I don't know what I'm going to do. And so then I simply just give them the tools and guide them through it. And the change is pretty easy.
Mm. I have to ask you, since you grew up a Wisconsin Christian boy, how has your family reacted to all of this? Because yeah, I can imagine my mom, and I can imagine her saying, "You put that witchcraft aside." Because, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation, to say the least. A lot of like, you're doing what? Like, and then a lot of, I thought it was going to be a lot of religion thrown at me, but it was mostly just like, okay, he's off in his college days or something. He's exploring something new. Like, give him 6 months. And I think now that I'm, you know, actually doubling down in this business, they're like, what is this thing really that he's getting into? So yeah, interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm curious, because you've been doing this for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that you've learned, right, about like the common problems people deal with, about the connection between mind and body and all that stuff?
What surprised me the most is that first the spectrum of people. Yeah. Like every single person that I see on the street could be struggling with something really big, because I've seen, you know, all types of people. And I was also fascinated by just how much control we have over our emotional states. Mm. Because I grew up in mental illness. I had struggled with depression. It runs in my family. And so it was always something I didn't think I had, you know, much control over. I'd either talk it out in therapy, or I'd go get some medication, and those are my options. And so learning about the connection between the mind, body, and what we can do with that, it's just fascinating to me. I'm absolutely hooked on learning more. I love how changing our physical states can change our emotional states. I love how, you know, you've got that, it's not a one-way direction between your brain and your posture, or your brain and your thoughts. You can change one and the other changes in you know, inverse. And so I've just been fascinated on learning more on exactly what you can do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious how you like help people get to that kind of controlling your emotions state. Cause I think oftentimes, especially I'll say me in corporate America, I realize that like, in corporations, people are very reactive. You know, corporations are set up to be very reactive businesses. I think of government. Government is a very reactive kind of organization. We oftentimes are conditioned by our surroundings to be so reactive to everything. If you live in a major city, right, like you're constantly reacting to your surroundings. How do you help people sort of reprogram some of that?
The first step is showing them that they can reprogram. And I typically don't start with hypnosis. I start with a tool from like acupressure or like a body technique kind of thing. I actually give out these, I call it the 7-day stress-free challenge. And these are the 7 tools that I give all my stress relief clients. And they're tools that you can do in like 30 seconds to like 2 minutes. And they show you just how rapidly you can change. And that really opens up their mind to be curious. Because once they're curious about how their mind or how their bodies can change their minds, then they're hungry for more. They're interested in learning more. And I guess, you know, since I'm a hypnotist, since I'm already labeling myself as someone a little out there, they're really curious about what other tricks I've got in the bag, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'd be curious as well, man. I think that like it's a natural thing once you start to learn how to control the uncontrollable, if you will, that it's a kind of an addictive feeling, right? That if we think about if we think about folks, I'll use weight loss as an example, that once you start to learn a couple of things and you're like, oh, wait, I think I know how to make this work. How can we fine tune this and tweak this to make it work a little bit more? Even if you think about any other profession that people take on in their lives, right? There's that feeling that, no, I feel comfortable with this. I feel good at this. Let's see how we can turn up the volume a little bit more and get more of that information.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I'm incredibly curious because you had mentioned this, and you said you work with it too. What is the deal with weight loss and hypnosis?
Yes. So many people will come to me thinking like, I'll just go to this guy, he'll fix me one session and I'll be like 100 pounds thinner. And it's not like that at all. It's not just waving the magic hypnosis wand and you're fixed. And it's about changing your mindset. It's about changing your motivations, and it's about changing your habits, your patterns. Hypnosis is really great at overcoming eating, you know, disorders and eating, you know, just overeating, I guess you can say. And it's also really great at changing your mindset at the identity level. So it's changing you from being someone who's a victim of their weight, a victim of, you know, the food always in a house, to someone who takes ownership of their weight loss journey. And those mental changes then catch up with them. And basically their mind or their body is just catching up with their mind where it already is.
Yeah, that's great. And a friendly reminder to the listeners, because this stuff can kind of, you know, all seem like a lot of information being thrown at you. Like if you're thinking about hypnosis, again, not as waving a magic wand, but more of helping you shift your mindset, then a lot of the things that I talk about on a regular basis around shifting your mindset on how you think about your diet, shifting your mindset about how you approach exercise, that the hypnosis, again, is truly to get you to think about things a little bit differently using your own thoughts, not necessarily the thoughts of another person, to get you to that ultimate goal. And it's not necessarily going to be the keto diet. It's not, you know what I mean? It's it's not one of those things that, as Doug was saying, that is flipping sort of that magic switch, if you will. I'm curious where this hypnosis stuff comes from, right? Like, is this more of a Eastern philosophy type deal? Is this like the Native Americans came up with this a couple hundred years ago, we kind of stole it and, you know, slapped a different name on it?
The first like history of hypnosis actually comes from ancient Greece. And they had these places called sleep temples, and they were temples to this god named Hypnos, who was the god of sleep. And people would go into these trances and they would do freaky things like hold snakes and all these weird things. But that was the first really recorded history, especially in the West, of someone going into this meditative deep trance state. There were a bunch of proto-hypnotists, I guess you could call them, in Europe from, I'd say, around 1600 to 1800. The most famous of which was Franz Anton Mesmer. That's where we get the word mesmerism from. And Mesmer was a very interesting man, because at that time they would do these this thing called animal magnetism, and they would pass magnets over open wounds to stop bleeding. Yeah. And we now know that it stops the bleeding because your mind thinks it's going to stop the bleeding. And so your body's like, all right, I'm going to stop the bleeding now. Huh. And one day Mesmer forgot his magnets. And so he did the thing with just a stick that he picked up and the bleeding stopped. And instead of saying, you know, maybe we don't need the magnets, maybe people are just doing them to themselves, Mesmer was like, I'm a god. And so he became this really famous celebrity and toured Europe. And that was the first time the hypnosis really became famous. But hypnosis for like a clinical setting really took off in the last century. It was used primarily, or I should say heavily, to treat PTSD after World War I and World War II. Mostly because talk therapy was really becoming prominent at that time.
Yeah.
But there were hundreds of thousands of people with shell shock, with PTSD, and you couldn't run that many people through a therapy room. And so hypnosis ever since has just been growing. It's been studied by the British Medical Association, the American Medical Association, different psychology boards. It's now approved by the National Cancer Institute. It's pretty well studied.
I'm here like with my mind blown, right? Because I think to myself, you know, especially the US government not necessarily being open to like this kind of what to me seems like new agey type stuff. And here, you know, where we're learning that, no, I mean, this stuff is proven legitimate and it's being used in, you know, pretty respectable settings. And I mean, I think that like the PTSD thing, I see the application there. You know what I mean? I could see the application for particularly folks that deal with trauma and folks who have gone through kind of just big experiences like that. I mean, I think the weight loss thing is important and needed, but also if we're thinking about the context of, you know, big experiences like that, it's particularly useful and it's particularly great there. If someone is looking for a hypnotist, I know we're here talking about you, but if someone happens upon the Google and, you know, does a Google search, my local hypnotists, what is something that people should look for in a hypnotist?
Oh, gosh. Well, first off, there's so many more hypnotists than people realize. I just did a Google search for someone on Austin, Texas. There are no less than 55 hypnotists in that city. I can't imagine how many there are in New York City. quite a few famous ones, in fact. But Google hypnotist or consulting hypnotist. You can also Google hypnotherapist. Mm. And hypnotherapist is kind of a tricky word because technically you need to be licensed as a therapist first to be a hypnotherapist. And so a lot of people mistakenly call themselves hypnotherapists when they don't have that license. It's a bit of a litigation thing, but search for hypnotherapist and then whatever you're looking for, because there's some hypnotists who are generalists who see anything. And there's some like me who focus on, you know, a couple of things. Like I have friends who focus on the famous one, you know, stop smoking. Yeah. I have friends who focus on weight loss. I have friends who focus on PTSD. And for me, it's anxiety.
Yeah, no, that's great. What are some things that people can do by themselves, right? To, you know, let's say tonight, I kind of want to bring myself into the transitive state, if you will, to work out some cool ideas. What are some things that people can do maybe on their own time or on their own that's, you know, maybe hypnosis light?
Yeah. People ask me a lot about self-hypnosis and how to get started in that. And I used to try to like explain to them how to get started in hypnosis. And I realized eventually the fastest way to get in, you know, to teach yourself self-hypnosis techniques is to go into hypnosis with a hypnotist and then learn how to get back there. Okay. And so if someone wants to experience what hypnosis is like, I actually have these free resources on my Instagram. Every Friday I go online and I give out like a 10 to 15 minute free hypnosis session. I've done things like managing food cravings, overcoming anxiety and limiting beliefs. That's where I would say to start. And then all you really have to do is just remember what that feels like and then sit there and then tell your brain that I want to experience this for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. and ask it to go back there. And if you relax enough, if you're willing to go into it, you'll go into it.
Let's talk after this. I have an idea. but no, yeah, I think that makes sense. I want to get to your podcast, the Making Meaning podcast. How did you come upon the idea? How can people make meaning in their life?
That was a passion project that I had been sitting on the back burner for a couple of years. And the name Making Meaning comes from a line I heard in therapy when I was going through my first depressive episode. My therapist said that we are making meaning, or meaning making creatures, meaning that we take our own meaning from the world around us. And that was that first idea that struck me that, you know, what my idea of the world is not particularly, is not exactly reality. There's reality, and then there's what I perceive reality to be. And so the Making Meaning podcast is all about interviewing, for me, what I most wanted to be was an adventurous person, someone who did cool things, climbed mountains and lived adventurously, however they wanted to. Because, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. There's not a whole lot of that to do.
That's fair.
And when I started out, I felt there was a huge gap between where I wanted to go and where I was. And after talking to so many different people who were living this kind of lifestyle, who had really taken ownership of their own life, I realized that, one, they all went through some pretty crazy struggles, but two, they still felt like they were on that journey, like they were still making progress. And so on this podcast, I really interview adventurers about their own journey, their own struggles, and what they're, you know, currently going through and what they hope to do. And my goal is to inspire people to take those first steps, whether that's, I don't know, moving to another country, or heck, just going to a park for the day and walking around, if that's a big enough step for you. I really encourage them to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, man. Look, I think that's great, because I think one of the things, again, that 2020 has reminded me is that I have my version of reality, right? And I have my version of truth. I have my version of what's right and wrong. But so does like everyone else on the internet right now. That, like, you know, political beliefs aside, you know, everything else aside, that we all have experienced such different things. And I think that our experiences shape often how we react to situations, how we react to people. And I think what you're doing is great in the sense that you get to some of that, and you kind of, through a different lens, show what diversity truly means. And that, I think, is what's magical and what's pretty cool about your podcast, your show, what you're trying to do. I have to ask you now, at this point where you are, you know, in your personal journey, you know, what are the things that you look to create meaning in your life, right? Like you're on this pod, you're doing this podcast thing, you're doing the hypnosis thing.
Yep.
What is it that makes Doug tick at this point?
Absolutely. So just to give some context, I had my depressive episode 4 or 5 years now ago. That was really the start of my own personal journey, and I went through a lot of different things to get where I am. I think for me, it's realizing that, or it's all about, one, building that stability to realize that no matter what happens, no matter how rocky the waves get, like, my ship is still stable, I guess, if you want to use the metaphor. To realize that I can handle things. And that's, even doing hypnosis, I still meditate every day. It's still an important part of what I do. And the second part of that is to show other people that you can do that too. Because my biggest fear as a kid was being stuck. Not like physically, I mean like being powerless. And I want to really, when I was in the middle of that depressive episode, that's what I felt. And it was crushing. And I really want to help others when they feel that way to realize that you're never completely stuck. There's always something you can do.
Yeah, man. It's so interesting. This is partially why I love doing this show. I oftentimes find myself connecting with people that, and I don't know if this is like, if you're one of those like universal connection people, if this is like the universe being like, oh, you know, I'm putting this like-minded person in front of you, but I'm hearing a lot of myself in what you're saying, because, you know, I often like truly struggle with the like feeling stuck. And I'm sure that there's other people out there like this too, that like, you know, a couple things happen, right? COVID happens, 2020 happens, yeah. And all of a sudden you feel stuck in your proverbial apartment or house, yeah. And you can't leave and you can't escape. And I think that like this year has been such a great metaphor for the stuckness that we all often kind of find ourselves in. So I think it's great, man, that like, you know, you're showing an understanding that we can work through that. And I think it's pretty fucking cool if you ask me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Man. I appreciate that.
Well, look, Doug, there is obviously a lot more things to talk about in this topic, but we've got an hour show. So where can the people of the internet find you, talk to you, work with you, hear more of the wonderful soothing sounds of Doug Sands?
The first one I mentioned is that free Hypnosis Fridays. That is on my Instagram channel, at Making Your Meaning. And the other places you can find me, you can find out more about the Making Meaning podcast on my website at anywherehypnosis.com/podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with me, you can check it out at, you know, anywherehypnosis.com, that same website. And if you'd like to learn more about that 7-day stress-free challenge, if you want to learn those tools that, you know, I give away to my stress relief clients, that is also on the website. And the direct URL is anywherehypnosis.com/anxiety-7-tools.
Cool. And I will make sure to link to those in the description of this episode. Well, Doug, you're always welcome to come back to the show, shoot the shit with me, talk cool philosophical things in the world and the universe. Before I let you go, I actually have to ask you, do you know what a bodega is?
I actually don't. I had to think about that, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not sure.
Okay. I was curious this whole time. I was like, oh man, he's a homeboy's from Wisconsin. I don't know if he knows. A bodega, and I don't think I've ever defined this on the show. It is a corner convenience store that exists here in New York City. It is of Puerto Rican sort of history. It's a word for warehouse. And really you can find anything at this corner store, from deodorant to toilet paper to a bag of potato chips. There's usually a deli counter. It's next time, if you ever come to New York, we will show you a proper bodega and give you a proper bodega experience.
Absolutely.
That does it for this week's show. Thanks again to Doug Sands. Make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Sabata. You'd also follow the brand Bodega Body at Bodega Body on both Twitter and Instagram. If you have any questions, reach out to me at rich@bodegabody.com. Thanks all.
Yo, listen, I said I came from the bottom. You an elevator, baby. The struggle made us humble and genuinely crazy. Yo, silver spoon, never. I was raised in the living room. All day smoking haze, praying that I get it soon. I took a nigga pack when I was broke. Almost 20 with no money, up in college lacking hope. Had the whole dorm clicking. You know niggas gotta smoke. Wiping out the competition. Ain't no David had the dope. Couldn't walk in my butters. They only fit G's. Nigga, my wrist freeze. Niggas play Superman and get Chris Reeve, all from a text message. I have your girl on you. You be stretched out before you send your next message. I don't like niggas. Beat around the bush for what? I'm really nice, nigga. Axe around and look them up. I'm in a deli with a bottle trying to see what's goody. Yeti side, streets cold. You gon' need your
okay, money. None of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied. Must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga. I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby. I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nicely lied. must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. I feel like a precious pebble lodged under the sea. Since I was 8, I knew a 9 to 5 wasn't for me. Shit ain't always how you want it to be. That's why I gotta work hard. My ancestors had to run to be free. At 15, I was running the streets, drinking liquor, puffing the gweets, cutting from school, fucking with freaks. By 21, I was sunk in the seat. G-Ride, bumping some beats, probably looking for something to eat. During my childhood, nothing was sweet. I wore ponies to school. The mother niggas had ups on their feet. It never fazed me though. I knew I was more intelligent, and the gift I had made it even more relevant. When I rap, I touch many like a known therapist. Cause I'm packed with more passion than a gold medalist. I say something, they gon' jack it, nigga, no letterman. I can pop at any time, shit, there's no telling it. Okay, none of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice, they lied. Must be fried. No way.